Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, before we get to CJ Stroud, a few texts. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. Along the lines of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson dominating practice yesterday, and they did. They looked really good. Mr. Optimistic says, last year we heard about how the D-tackles were wreaking havoc on the interior O-line. I much prefer hearing our tackles struggling against our all-pro defensive end.
Yes. That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
I'm coming out of those training camp practices, and I'm like, either Mario Edwards is really going to be a different player in this defense, which he was in a lot of regards. It was a really good defense for Mario, but he did. He looked like I couldn't tell whether it was Mario Edwards or Aaron Donald out there.
Yeah. I tell you,
the Rams practice. I was like, wait, I thought Aaron Donald retired. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, that's Mario Edwards. Okay.
Let me tell you this, Foley Fatakasi, man. It's Foley Fatakasi.
I didn't realize Foley Fatakasi had a 17-sack season in him.
Yeah.
He's got it. It's there.
That's a great, great point by Mr. Optimistic. Have J.J. Watt talk to C.J. about overdoing offseason training? Seth alluded to that earlier.
Yeah, so J.J., when he was talking about how great his workouts were in the offseason, he set all these PRs, either exercises or usually with the PRs you're talking in the weight room. And he does he looks better.
He's thicker.
He looks bigger in a good way.
Yes.
C.J. said there's a risk-reward to that. And that makes me really, really nervous.
Yeah.
And, somebody, I don't know if he wants me to say who, reminded me. Yeah, Ryan Mallett, RIP. Ryan Mallett tore his pec in the weight room.
He did.
Like, that's the kind of stuff you cannot. Quarterbacks, that's the number one rule. It's the number one rule of football strength and conditioning is quarterbacks are not allowed to get hurt in the weight room.
Yeah.
So, and CJ is not, he's not Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts gets hurt in the weight room, I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. That's part of, like, he needs,
that's his
that's
gimmick.
What makes him special.
That's part of his gimmick, yeah.
and it makes him special.
It does.
He's a unicorn in that regard. Yeah. With every other quarterback who are pure pocket throwers, CJ can run, but he's a pocket thrower. Yeah. That's what he needs to lean into in his career.
For sure.
You can't get hurt in the weight room. It's the dumbest place to lose football games is in the weight room.
All right, well, let's get people up to speed as to what you're talking about. Here was CJ Stroud, the risk-reward part of it. This is CJ right off the top. At his press conference yesterday after practice. Looked really good in practice, by the way. If you missed it earlier, we kind of went through the superlatives from minicamp yesterday. CJ was right at the top. He looked really good throwing the football. How much did the general soreness that D'Amico Ryans told us about impact your workout plans?
A little bit, I took this offseason very serious. I'm just working hard. I'm trying to get my body right. So I was here like pretty early with Clint, our strength guy. So I've been working really hard on getting my body right, losing body fat, trying to be faster, stronger. And, it went really well, but there's always risk and reward, so there's always risk to working hard. So, it was a great offseason. I think I got that done, but also, I wouldn't say that was the reason why. Just a lot of everything, so.
Right, and I don't even want to be, lobby this. I'm not lobbing criticism at Clint or anything. It's that like maybe this is a good lesson for CJ to learn.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's the strength coach himself that is telling the quarterback, listen, dude, why are you doing barbell
dial
bench
it back
at all?
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to touch a barbell.
Yep.
Very unnatural motion for the shoulder and everything. So, but you know, sometimes, especially if this is the first time CJ's ever really gotten into it in the gym, you know, your buddy that just started working out, he's annoying as hell. He just won't shut up about how many grams of protein per pound of body weight he's eating and everything. And then he's got all kinds of advice for you. You know, CJ's telling Tank about the power of creatine and everything.
Now,
it's the zeal of the new convert. And so if he had to learn that lesson that, hey, CJ, quarterbacks don't get injured in the weight room. Quarterbacks don't get tight shoulders from working in the weight room.
Yeah.
There is no risk reward. You are not allowed to have the risk reward. JJ Watt's allowed to have a risk reward. You know, Titus Howard, he's allowed to have a risk reward in the weight room.
Yeah.
But not quarterbacks.
Not quarterbacks.
Not especially pure pocket passers. Damn it.
Now I need CJ to be mic'd up at practice. I want to hear him annoyingly telling his teammates what different exercises. I need CJ to get into CrossFit. That's what I need. I need CJ to do CrossFit so he can tell us about all his workouts.
God forbid if I find out that CJ was doing like band or chain benches or something. Some of the real aggressive stuff. It doesn't have to be super aggressive, but there's no need for a quarterback to do it.
No.
I think that is a classic. If I have a young quarterback, he's not allowed to touch a barbell at all. It's just, there's an inherent risk to the shoulder and anything with that. And again, I'm not criticizing the Texans strength and conditioning staff. If I had to suspect it, it's CJ being a meathead.
Yeah.
You get carried away with yourself. You start hitting PRs. You know, when you're first working out really hard and focused on it for the first time in your life, you're progressing every week. You're getting stronger and everything, and it can become intoxicating.
Dude, numbers get intoxicating. When you see numbers and you see progress and it's quantified, that is in any not just in the gym, in anything, that is intoxicating. Yes.
You know, on the offensive and defensive line side of it, what happens in the off season, I used to call it bulking season, is that for one, it's fun as hell because you're just like, oh, I'm gonna try see how I can do with like 10 extra pounds on me. So you just start eating your face off. Houston, it's all about the guacamole.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I could have 7 pounds of guacamole coursing through these veins by 2 p.m.
Yes.
But it's intoxicating because you feel this high when you're working out because you got so much energy and you get stronger every workout and everything. And you feel so good in the weight room. And then all of a sudden you get out in this Houston heat.
In
you
society.
Try to make it through a practice.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my, I'm a fat bastard. Ah.
It's a give and a take, man. Risk reward.
Austin Powers villain. Yeah.
The reward is the weight room. The risk is you might have a heart attack in the middle of the field in practice.
CJ's going to get up at his next press conference and be like, you know, we started off with just a classic pyramid set structure, and then I figured it's just. Some point, I decided to go into a powerlifting mode.
And all of a sudden, he immediately becomes, he goes from the most popular Houston Texan to like,
He needs to get on that Tom Brady TB12 workout where it's all about pliability.
I agree, man. Well, here's CJ talking about what he was hoping to add this offseason.
The goal was just to be bigger, faster, stronger like every offseason, but be more intentional about it. So have more fluidity in my hips, lose a couple pounds, run faster. And I got all those done. I think I PR'd on almost everything this offseason, which has been really dope. You know, so, you know, shout out to Mike, Clint. Clint's been with me every day, and you know, he does a lot of, he had a track background, but, you know, has bought in and done a lot of things with us as quarterbacks. So I'm very, very grateful that, you know, we got these things done. But now it's ball time, and, you know, this offseason will be, you know, very important on getting back with my throwing regimen and with my guys in L.A. So, you know, I got those things done, and I'm grateful for it.
No, go ahead, Sean.
No, there's an interesting question on the text page, yeah.
Well, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not criticizing Mike Eubanks or anybody else because I do. Like, those were my favorite guys. You know, Dan Riley is one of my favorite people I've ever had in my life.
Yes.
He was my strength coach with the Texans.
Yep.
Changed my life in a lot of ways. His number one rule was don't get hurt in the weight room. If you're any position, don't get hurt in the weight room.
Right.
Because he started off as like, he was like one of the first full-time strength coaches in Division I football back in the early 70s or late 60s. He was at West Point.
Okay.
And he was like, I had these guys doing all this psychotic, and they would do it. You know, these cadets are like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Better place to do it than at West Point. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had like a come-to-Jesus moment where like some player got hurt doing some idiotic, the kind of stuff you see on Instagram these days. Yeah. Like benching while doing a neck bridge on the bench or something weird, and he's like, oh, whoa, all right. And it changed his whole philosophy about everything. So, like, I do think, again, because CJ really attacked it, maybe for the first time in his life, really, on the weight room side of things, a lot of times it is the strength coach trying to tell the quarterback, hey, man, listen, man, just back off a little, okay? And then, so if it had to happen that way, and he's got a little shoulder tightness, I'm glad it happened when it did.
For sure.
Now CJ knows. He's seen, as Brock Osweiler would tell you, you know, when a child touches the hot stove, you know, how did he say it?
I don't know, but I wish we had the old analogy of touching a hot stove. I wish we had it right now because he butchered it. It was
Mike Eubanks could tell CJ not to touch the hot stove, but CJ's not going to know it for sure until he touches the hot stove and feels the burn.
The mere fact that CJ's mentioning PRs in an answer in a media session is like, okay, this dude is to some degree very dialed in the weight room right now. There's no doubt. Yeah. The question on the text page is interesting. Someone asked, I wonder if the bigger version of CJ means he'll be running more this year. And I would add to that, I don't think it means he turns into Lamar Jackson or anything, but that was an element of his game that he seemed to, I don't want to say stumble into, but he used more in the postseason and was more comfortable doing in the postseason and looked good doing it in the postseason.
They talked about it, you know, and the various veterans have said at times, hey, man, don't be afraid to run. I think CJ had it drilled into his head for a long time, hey man, don't let them pigeonhole you. And a lot of this, and it's good advice, but the NFL has changed a little bit because, man, it's happened so fast. Like 10 years ago, there was an element of like just people saw a black quarterback and they thought, he's more of an athlete than a, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, like back then, you were working against people's perceptions and you wanted to really show that you were you're a pocket passer, that you don't have to rely on your legs. But CJ took it to such an extreme where, like, that was one of the knocks against him, was that people didn't realize how athletic he was or that he was capable of running as much as he did, you know, other in sparse examples, including, you know, in the playoffs in college where he did it really well. That I think that some of those hard-grained habits of, like, man, don't be a running quarterback, be a pure pocket passer, it's a transition into realizing, man, it's not a knock against you anymore. Things have changed a lot. Now, like what used to be an athletic quarterback in the NFL is now pretty much the standard of athleticism.
Yep.
You know, like Lamar Jackson is the extreme. But if you're Jim Kelly or somebody like that, and that's not fair because before his injuries, he was pretty athletic. But like the Dan Marino's.
Yeah, Dan
Marino's. Those guys are just like, no, it's unacceptable
that level.
At least when you're evaluating prospects.
Yep, for sure. Mike and Cyfair, no, don't become David Boston. I think we're okay. I was standing 10 feet away from CJ yesterday at the press conference. I don't think he's in any danger of looking like he was just created on AI. When you said if you told ChatGPT, turn CJ Stroud into a superhero. It wasn't like that. He just looks a little bulkier. That's all.
There's two extreme versions. There's Tom
David
Brady.
Boston.
There's Tom. CJ gets pinched in Tijuana at a pharmacia in Tijuana trying to buy some Diana ball.
Exactly.
I think that so the two ends of the extreme are there's Tom Brady who had a fit dad bod, but he was all about pliability, just didn't want to lift weights at all or anything. And then you got guys like Tim Tebow where you're like, dude, I don't need to see any workout videos of Tim Tebow. I want to see him in a film room. Studying for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow was dumb as an NFL quarterback.
Right.
Like, no, I need him doing Sudoku exercises or something.
Correct.
Like, be more of a nerd than a physique.
Amen. Amen.
The good side of that, and then Jalen Hurts obviously is the side of where, man, his physical strength is so much of why he's good that, yeah, he needs to have that risk reward.
It's part of his deal. Yeah, for sure.
But he's super, but he's also, like, he was a competitive weightlifter. He's very, very smart about it, I'm sure.
No doubt. A good reminder here on the text page. We did it earlier, but we'll do it again. Good morning. What does PR mean? Personal record.
Personal record.
Personal
record.
Sorry,
everybody.
Yep. That's okay.
Personal record.
That's okay. Yeah, personal record.
You know what, though? I like those guys asking those questions.
I do, too.
Because they've got the right workout mentality for a quarterback.
They've got the right courage to know there are no bad questions. Do not be embarrassed by your questions.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Nick Haley in the offense. All right, we're going to get to the cut that got Seth the most excited from CJ here in just a second. Here's C.J. Stroud. What do you like about Nick Haley's offense?
Him as a person. I think for me, like, I buy into people. I really don't buy into, like, system. You know, I kind of have that thing about, like, life. Is like, you know, it's the people and the relationships that kind of take things and make it rocket ship to the stars. So just him as a person, man, like, he's has probably the most juice I've ever seen in my life, just naturally. I'm a very laid-back, chill guy. Except for, like, when I'm in between the lines. But, like, he's 6 in the morning. He's up. He's at it. So, like, that kind of, like, gets me motivated. And just, you know, how he buys into his players. And, you know, he calls me a lot. I don't always answer because he always yelling and stuff. But, you know, I appreciate it, though. And it's, you know, it's been great, you know. He's implementing a lot of things he's done in the past, which is important as well. The system is important. And he's doing a great job, you know. As you guys have seen, you know, we've been able to, you know, have a pretty good OTA off-season program from what you guys can see, and even things that y'all can't see, building that foundation so we can rocket ship once we snap that ball, you know, against LA. So, I love Nick, and he's doing a great job.
We'll get to Kayla here in a second. One of the most encouraging things about yesterday, like, CJ was, like, just super playful at his media session. Like, he was in a really good mood. Like, CJ seemed miserable at the end of last year. You know,
As you might be when you're just physically battered and banged up and things aren't going the way you planned.
That was funny as hell right there. Okay. Like, sometimes I don't pick up because he's yelling and stuff.
I don't always pick up. The perfect thing that would have happened in that moment is, like, that classic situation of Nick doesn't realize CJ's talking at a press conference. So he calls CJ, looks up, but sees that CJ is at the podium.
Yeah.
CJ picks up his phone, sees who it is, puts the phone down.
That would have been great.
Haley's, like, trying to call him. I think a pretty stark contrast between, you know, Lance Zierlein had the report that it didn't go all so well between Bobby Slowick and CJ Stroud when they met on their top 30 visit.
Yeah.
You know, CJ and Bobby would kind of, I don't think playfully they would talk about how, like, well, yeah, we butt heads, but it's good and we move. You know, I don't know. Slowick has a much different personality than Nick Haley.
Much different.
Which is fine. Lots of different personalities do great in the NFL. I think that the biggest thing from the football side of it is that when we hear Haley talk, I think he does very much have a philosophy of, we're going to mold this offense to the strengths of our players. With Slowick, I feel like there was still a little too much of that rigid, this is our system and we're going to get these players to play our system.
Yeah.
Oh, Damian Pierce doesn't do that well. Well, let's see if we can spend 2 years trying to turn him into something he's not. You might as well have spent 2 years turning Damian Pierce into a horse jockey. Like, it's, there's just some guys have natural traits and abilities, and you're suited to some things and not to others.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Kaylee has talked about that. Kaylee's talked about it less in the context you're talking about it, but more in the context of players and what they're. I guess it is in the context of what you're talking about. You know, like, we're going to do what our guys do well. We're not going to take guys and try to pigeonhole them into what our system is. You know, that's why anytime Kaylee gets asked about the system, he's like, we're still figuring it out. I'm trying to figure out who we've got as players right now.
And then nobody wants to hear that answer. They love, man, nothing wins the press conference so that, like, this is the kind of team we're going to be.
This is the way. Yep, this is the way talk. Yeah.
And there's a leap of faith there. It's like, okay, I got to trust you to – it's like you throw a bunch of tools at a carpenter you've never met.
Yeah.
You're like, use these. Yeah.
This Kaylee sounds like a Tasmanian devil, man, from all the cuts we're hearing about him. High energy.
He's so much – it's so hard not to think of Sean McVay when he talks.
Yes.
Because he talks fast. Yep. He's got high energy. He's kind of got those eyes that dart around the room.
Yeah.
But in a good way, not like the Adam Gase way.
No. God, no. All right, I want you. You
got the good beady eyes, not the Adam Gase beady eyes.
The weirdo beady eyes, yeah.
This was interesting to me, and this will come back to maybe a contrast between CJ and a previous Texans quarterback.
Yeah, set this up. You love this cut, right?
He was asked, I didn't couldn't tell who was asking the question, but he was asked about, having more control over the offense this year?
Yeah, that'd be between me and Kales. And, you know, that was something that I did want, and I'm gotten that now. So, but that takes ownership, you know. We've been able to watch a lot of Brady, you know, and there was clips back in like 2003 or 4 when him and Josh McDaniels, first started. And so, like, it took him time to master it. So it'll take time for me to master fully, but I am buying into it and trying my best to be as great as I can at it. So, it's something that I wanted and I'm getting.
Okay, so Tom Brady, great. Watch him from 2003 and 2004, where remember, Tom Brady was not the classic version that we know of Tom Brady, the guy who just had the complete playbook at his disposal at the line of scrimmage.
No.
Would figure out exactly what the defense was doing. I really, really like hearing that they're showing him clips from 2003 and 2004 because they want him to operate on that kind of level, but also understand that, man, you don't just leap. You don't leap to your PhD, dissertation
right
from your freshman year. Like, there's a progression you got to follow. So you can kind of follow and see what Tom Brady was doing then, where he progressed to after that. But really, it also reminded me when Bill O'Brien, probably was doing some of the same things with Brock Osweiler, showing him some stuff about from Tom Brady, because this is the way we like to run our offense.
Yep.
Do you remember this quote that he did in an article in an interview with the Houston Chronicle, Sean? This is Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
They refer to Tom Brady a lot. With all due respect to Coach O'Brien and Coach Godsey, I've told them I'm going to be me.
Okay, well, there,
I'm not here to be a puppet, if you will. I'm going to be who I am and believe in what I bring to the table. What the hell are you talking about? You're going to be you? That's the last thing I want you to be. Oh, my God.
Dude, I feel like you've been digging in the backyard for 3 weeks now, and you just finally found the buried treasure with this quote right here. That's incredible.
They refer to Tom Brady a lot. With all due respect, I've told them I'm going to be me.
This is Brock.
I'm not here
Osweiler.
To be a puppet, if you will. I'm going to be who I am and believe in what I bring to the table.
And if you're wondering,
every day, if nobody puts Brock in a corner.
If you're wondering where the O'Brien Osweiler relationship fell apart, there is your answer right there.
Can you imagine, like, 3 minutes into a Tom Brady film session, and Osweiler's like, really, Billy? What am I going to learn from this?
He looks after the fourth amazing Brady throw, Osweiler just looks over at O'Brien and Godsey and gives them the throat slashing thing. Like, this is over. I don't feel like I need this. Right. Keep in mind, when Osweiler got here, Brady had won 4 Super Bowls. He got here in 2016.
Well, so he hadn't really established
that's
himself
true.
As
he
the
was
legend
still,
that he became.
It was only like half of the Super Bowls that the guy ended up winning. It's crazy. What a wild quote, dude.
I'm not here to be a puppet.
Holy
what God. The hell are you talking about, Brock?
It sounds like CJ's a little more amenable to all the Brady film than Brock Osweiler was.
Yeah, well, you know what? And honestly, Deshaun Watson was too.
Yes, he
did
was.
It with Deshaun. And Deshaun, the tough thing about O'Brien getting fired in 2020 was that was a season where, remember the learning curve? Deshaun, I believe, or at least as I've, like, the way I understand it from talking to people, Deshaun really liked Bill O'Brien's offense. And in 2020, even after O'Brien was gone, you saw Deshaun really start to do a lot of that higher level stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of mental work and it takes a lot of reps, but you started to see him really be truly in command and understand, like, exactly how receivers were going to be adjusting to coverages and leverage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not always a smooth transition, you know. And I think what I hope with Kaley is, if Kaley can be different than Bill O'Brien was in that regard, I don't think Bill O'Brien had the same attention to detail for the offense in total that you need to have when it comes to just really executing everything for all 11 guys. And I've always said, I think one of Tom Brady's more underappreciated skills was his ability as a wide receivers coach.
Yeah.
You know, like, his ability to work with receivers, and they knew exactly what he wanted, and they were thinking the same things. And CJ's 100% capable of that,
mm-hmm.
and, and learning it. And I think he can learn it faster than Deshaun Watson. He's starting off at a at a higher level of learning than Deshaun Watson started off at. Clemson's offense is not conducive to that style of play, where CJ came from a college that did a lot, by current college standards especially, a lot more advanced stuff than they do at most places.
He made that point.
And certainly at Clemson.
Yeah, CJ made that point many times. Boy, and maybe that was when he was making that point. Well, let me say what he was saying first. He would make the point, Seth, that at Ohio State, he had way more responsibility than in Bobby Slowick's offense. And maybe that was his sort of passive-aggressive way of saying, I'd really like more control in this offense, please.
Right, and it's one of those things where, like, yeah, and if your quarterback can handle them, by all means, do it. Yeah. And with, you know, the part that comes in here, too, is you can see 100% why they drafted Woody Marks now. Because I was going back, and I was just doing a little at 3:30 a.m. this morning, I was watching Tom Brady stuff because of this quote.
Yeah.
But I went to the Super Bowl, and there was a situation where I think it was 3rd and 18 with like 18 seconds left in the half. And they were down in the red zone or like on the 30-yard line going in. But it was like 3rd and 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was 3rd and long. And they run 4 vertical, you know, just everybody running deep. And Brady ends up hitting Leonard Fournette, and Fournette gets the first down.
Yeah.
So, because they had one timeout, so they could do it.
Yep.
And the thing that's notable about it is, and then I went back and watched him throw into another couple running backs in his career. Like check down is a dirty word. And I don't mean that you shouldn't throw the check down. It's that quarterbacks like Tom Brady don't view it as, oh, it's the check down. It's like, nope. That's part of the play,
yards.
And that's part of the right. Like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And young quarterbacks coming out of college, especially, you know, in college, you run 4 vertical, and it's like, all right, one of these DBs is a sucker out here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find him. I'm going to find out who it is. In the NFL, it's not like that. And especially in those long, 3rd and long situations where the DBs are playing deep.
Ready.
So when you see Tom Brady hit the running back, even if it is a check down, it looks like it's within the rhythm of the play.
Yeah.
It's like he's doing it off of his back foot. And then the running back gets the ball and the DBs and the linebackers are on their heels and they're still running backwards. And then, yeah, you can get that yardage after catch. So Woody Marks being drafted and hopefully developing into what CJ alongside CJ, what you hope for is that, man, like, look at all the various running backs that were really productive as receivers in New England and then went elsewhere. Like Rex Burkhead comes to Houston and it's not the same it's just not the same.
No.
And it's because Brady was so good at knowing when and how to use them. So hopefully CJ really can get the absolute best out of Woody Marks.
Yeah, that'd be fun if that became an element of the offense for sure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Speaking of running backs, all right, Nick Chubb, he was out there yesterday. He's going to be wearing jersey number 21 for the Houston Texans. At least he was at practice yesterday. And, you know, as good as you can look at a mandatory minicamp workout doing the drills and whatnot, Nick Chubb looked good. Here was DeMeco Ryans yesterday, his first chance to talk about new Texans running back Nick Chubb.
Just to see the resilience, to see him battle back, work in the right way, to put himself in position to have another opportunity here in Houston, you know, couldn't be more excited to add him to our team and see what value he can provide to us. And just on the same note, I would just like to, you know, just thank Nick Caserio for just his tirelessly hard work to and dedication to our team, to making sure no matter the circumstances, making sure he's doing everything possible to enhance our roster, put us in a good position to compete each and every year despite the circumstances that comes up. Like, he's always looking to make us better, and he's done an outstanding job every year that I've been with him, and couldn't be more pleased to work with Nick with the job that he's done.
There you go, a little unsolicited praise for Nick Caserio. If your name was Nick yesterday, either Chubb or Caserio, you were on the good side for DeMeco Ryans, man.
Sean, I was watching on the YouTube stream, and the first half of that was all glitchy. The audio was all messed up. There was a lag and everything. Yeah. And I immediately thought, Easterby. Easterby's in the building.
Oh.
He's trying to sabotage the audio.
Trying to drown out the Caserio praise.
He was like that general in the Forrest Gump speech.
Pulling,
you know,
all the wires out?
Trying to pull the plug, yeah. It's like Pete Seeger trying to pull the plug on Bob Dylan.
That's it,
yeah,
man. That's it. So, yeah, that was DeMeco giving Nick Caserio a little. By the way, Nick Caserio this time tomorrow will be talking to us. 7:15 a.m. tomorrow, Nick Caserio joins us here on Sports Radio 610. Here's one more on Nick Chubb. This is from C.J. Stroud talking about his new teammate.
Yeah, just, you know, he's a great player. You know, I met him today for the first time, and I told him, man, I've been respecting his game since he was in college, and, you know, I think he's a great back, and I think he'll do some great things for us, and I'm excited to have him as a teammate. So, I actually didn't recognize him when I walked in. He's very quiet, you know, so I was like, dang, what's up, Nick? I kind of got nervous because he been a baller since I've been a kid. So, but I'm very excited to have him.
I'm sure Nick Chubb loved hearing how old he was yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nick Chubby's probably, Kamari Lassiter probably had a
poster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do kids still put posters on the walls?
Kids, do you put posters on the walls?
Text in, kids. Do you put posters on the walls these days? Nick Chubb. And we'll hear from Nick Chubb, I would imagine, at some point. Maybe even today, we'll hear from Nick Chubb.
It reminds me of the way people at Cleveland talk about him. You know, he doesn't have the same personality or anything, but, like, he sounds a lot like Andre Johnson in that, like, he's not there to give a motivational speech or anything. He just does everything the right way.
Yeah.
And he's very much a leader by example. But I think with your skill position players, like, and especially if you're coming onto a team as the backup running back and still trying to prove to yourself who you are, like, it just sounds from everything people say about him in Cleveland or Georgia that he's got no ego.
Yeah.
That he's just all about the team and playing football and all of those things that you want for. And it's hard to find in professional athletes these days.
Well, and this will be an adjustment for him because this will be the first time he hasn't been the marquee back on his team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy from the day he was drafted in Cleveland, and now he's part of a – you know, I'm not even going to say he's part of a committee. I think Joe Mixon is still the starter and the guy who's going to lead this team in carries this year. You know,
Sean, it's a really good point, and I think it's the one that you might kind of skate by because usually you think of wide receivers as the guys that get upset about not getting targets and everything. But you're right, when you've been a running back that long, a stud running back, if you're depending on what your personality is, that can kind of be a blow to your ego. But like I said, I don't think Nick Chubb has much of an ego, and I think he really probably. one of the reasons he probably chose the Texans was specifically because Joe Mixon can take the bulk of the workload.
Yeah, I love that point about Mixon taking the bulk. I think I would be more concerned, other than health, that's obviously the biggest concern with Chubb. When it comes to his role on the team, I'm zero concerned about what it is for his ego. I do wonder, like, for a running back sometimes, can you get into the rhythm that you need to get into, right?
Yeah,
you're only
yeah.
touching the ball 6-7 times a game as opposed to, well, I know, man, it's not popping here early in the first quarter, but I know I'm going to be touching the ball 22 times today. It's going to pop at some point here.
You know, it's not like the – it's funny. Like, it's, people have done studies on this, and the notion – I don't want to call it the myth of the volume runner.
Yeah.
Because there are some guys, like Derrick Henry is that way, that genuinely do get stronger as the game goes on.
Yep.
But I guess Chubb has never struck me as, like, a guy that needs to be a volume guy. Because, but part of that's because he's so explosive and powerful, and that because from any, you know, any given play might pop. And last year he didn't have that same explosion. It's a 2-year recovery from this injury. We really have no idea what he's going to look like this year. And he's also still coming off that broken foot. Hopefully is just not one of these complicated
broken
foots.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, pass a physical. So the, you know, so we'll see.
And his workout videos don't look like the broken foot.
No. Sony Michel, former New England running back, was a teammate of Nick Chubb at Georgia. They were in the backfield together there. He was on Kay Adams' show yesterday talking about the Texans' newfangled backfield here. Here was Sony Michel on the combination of Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb.
You got two lead backs in one backfield. So you're going to call it, you know, 1A and 1B. Right.
Okay.
Once one guy gets tired or one guy needs a break, you can throw in either guy. And when the game's on the line, you can't go wrong with either back. I think this is a year for Nick, you know, to prove to everyone that he's still Nick Chubb. You know, he's 29. I talked to him. He feels young again. Yes, he had a whole year. It wasn't the year he wanted to have, but he had a whole year to kind of get physically ready, mentally ready. And I think he's at a point now where he's ready to roll.
Okay. So Sony Michel, given the stamp of endorsement, stamp of approval to this version of Nick Chubb. We'll see. Here's one more from Sony Michel. How does Nick Chubb look?
You were with him this weekend. How is he? Like, how is he physically?
He's great. You're talking about being at peak shape, being ready to go. And we were talking about it. People see it all the time with him lifting all those heavy weights. And he don't post much. You know, sometimes he'll post those videos, but this guy, he always go home to Cedar Town, the middle of nowhere, put his head down and go to work. So I expect nothing from great things out of Nick, and I'm sure he expects the same thing out of himself, and I'm excited to see it.
Okay.
And he'll turn 30. This will be his 30-year-old season.
Yep.
So the one – I'm going to try to turn a negative into a positive or find the silver lining. It's that he's only played 10 games in the last 2 years. So the wear and the tear on his body, other than his devastating knee injury, has been relatively minor.
That matters at that position, I think.
So it does matter, especially if he can get his knee back to whatever percentage that he's got maybe more gas left in the tank than you would otherwise think for a 30-year-old running back. And the Adrian Peterson comp, people bring Adrian Peterson up a lot. He had Adrian Peterson had air quotes, simple ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a much more devastating injury, and it is a lot harder to come back from. But Adrian Peterson came back very, very fast and was the league leader in rushing the next year.
Yeah.
So that was the part that was impressive. Not that he came back in a year, but he had a similar work ethic to Nick Chubb.
Yes.
And I think that's in a lot of ways had that same power dynamic that – Whether you have the same burst or not, Chubb's just strong as hell.
Yeah.
So in short yardage or when it comes to breaking tackles, even if he never gets back up to his peak, it's hard to believe that he can't be a viable running back as long as his knee is healthy. Because of what a freak athlete he is.
If he's a good role player for the Texans, that's a good signing. He's getting paid like a role player right now.
Like you said, he's getting paid like a Gumbo Ale.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, somebody asked him yesterday. I think Sarge asked D'Amico about, you know, whether they're nervous about the injuries or whether the injuries are a concern. And, you know, Nick D'Amico gave a long answer. But, I mean, the sum total of it is, by virtue of his contract, you can tell that, yes, they're concerned about his injuries. But I'd be way more concerned about his injuries, as far as the team goes, if they had given him a $20 million contract or something.
Yeah,
like 100%. This is very much, hey, this is a prove-it deal. And it's also an organization where I think Nick Chubb realizes, man, the Texans have The Texans have rewarded guys on prove-it deals.
No
doubt. They rewarded Dalton Schultz, Mario Edwards, various other players in the last couple years.
Collins. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, rolling along here on a Wednesday. Let's circle over to the Rockets up next. Jalen Green, is he ready to be the leader for a title team? There is a prominent voice out there that says no. Also, a trade proposal out there that mirrors actually one that Seth and I said, I said yes to last week. We'll run it through the Payne and Pendergast filter again. It's a little tweaked by this guy who proposes it, but we'll hit a little Rockets in the next segment. Stay there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Top of the hour, Stephon Diggs spoke yesterday at New England Patriots mandatory minicamp. He was there. He was asked about the video, the boat, the pink powder that he was dishing out.
And there is a drug, the drug that Pinky, they call it. It's some kind of opioid that people were speculating that
might have been that.
Might have been in that bag. It might have been Pop Rocks. Who knows?
Could have been.
Nobody knows, and nobody's saying.
And we'll find out if people know now. We'll have Diggs audio at the top of the hour, so stay there.
I'm
for that.
Excited. I didn't realize we had that.
We got that. We got Mike McDaniel going off a little bit in his press conference when he was asked about his feelings on Jalen Ramsey. So we got a little kind of mini around the NFL sort of thing we got going on at 8 o'clock today on the show. Let's take a little left-hand turn from the Texans minicamp talk here for a little bit of Rockets. The New York Knicks had the gall to actually pick up the phone and call the Rockets to see if it would be okay to talk to Ime Udoka. No, it's not okay to flirt with my wife, all right? He is very happy in this marriage, Ime Udoka, with the Rockets. So no, permission denied, New York Knicks. Stephen A. Smith said that yesterday on ESPN, he loves him some Ime Udoka.
Most importantly about the Houston Rockets, look at what's happening around you. Just in the state of Texas alone, the Mavs are coming back. Mm-hmm. The San Antonio Spurs can improve. Tillman Fertitta and his crew cannot stand still. Now, Ime Udoka is one of the best coaches in the NBA. This brother's something special. When Jay Williams brought up what about the New York Knicks reaching out to Houston, right? I got a text. You don't have enough. They said you couldn't pay us enough. Ime Udoka ain't going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I got that text message. He's not going away, okay? And damn right, they should. They should hold on to him for dear life.
100%.
Because that man is a hell of a coach.
All right, so clearly a text from somebody in the building over at the Toyota Center. He's heard that being discussed and said, yeah, there's not enough money in the vault.
It's interesting. Look, it's understandable why you'd be intrigued by Udoka, obviously. For all the reasons that the Rockets are not going to let go of Udoka, the Knicks would be interested in him. But I think the level of delusion of the Knicks and James Dolan, the owner, in thinking that somehow, because, hey, we're the New York Knicks, yep, and we just went to a conference championship. But yeah, you fired your coach.
Yeah.
So the coach, the team and coach that is very much on the rise and has a young core of players, many of whom were brought in with Ime Udoka, yep, are neither Udoka nor, unless there was some other weird reason that we didn't know about, there's no reason to suspect that Udoka or the Rockets themselves would have any interest in any of that
Zero.
Happening. You think Udoka is going to think, oh gosh, yeah, boy, they did just fire the coach that actually got them to their first conference championship this century.
Yeah.
But I like my chances.
Now, reportedly, Jason Kidd might be entertaining this, but he's working for the team that just traded Luka Doncic.
Right. You know? Right, exactly. He's in a quagmire.
So there's that. Here was Stephen A. Smith on Jalen Green.
To me, Wendy, it's about that Jalen Green. Listen, the brother is young and ultra-talented. Molly, he seems a bit distracted, okay? The focus doesn't need to – you haven't seen a focus on his game where he has gotten exponentially better. They needed him in the playoffs. There was four games the brother scored single digits. With that talent, single digits. Single digits. Against Golden State? Really? I mean, that's just panicking. That's just deer in headlights kind of stuff. And you, if you're Houston, with the changes that are going on, with the Wild Wild West being what it is, with the inordinate amount of teams that are in legitimate positions to compete, you can't afford to stand still. They need a professional. They need somebody like KD. They need somebody like Giannis. They need one guy for Ime Udoka to evolve everything around. Give him that one star. That brother can get everything you need out of everybody else. But the face cannot be Jalen Green. He's just not ready yet.
Okay, I don't disagree with everything he said there with Jalen. The part at the beginning there, Seth, where he's just speculating that Jalen Green is distracted in some way, I don't know. I don't know where that comes from, because Jalen Green reportedly is one of the hardest workers. Look, he answers the bell every game. You can't get him out of the lineup. He's the guy organizing the offseason workouts, kind of like CJ does with the receivers. That's Jalen doing that stuff with the Rockets. I don't get that. Now the results, especially in the playoffs, are inarguable. He was awful in that Golden State series.
I think but the other problem, though, too, is he's saying all of those things. I think he's discounting the potential for – he's discounting the potential of Amen Thompson. He's discounting the potential of Şengün. Trying to paint this avenue of – and I think part of it is because this is the pervasive psychology in the NBA now, is that you gotta create a super team somehow, some way.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Yep.
And it's not. It's just not the only
way.
Look
at the finals. Neither of these teams are super teams.
And not to mention what any of the other young guys, the Reed Shepherds or whoever else. Right, exactly, Sean. This pendulum always swings where in every professional league where, man, something works, people copy it, and then all of a sudden there's an avenue for the other approach to work out. And like old school team basketball and playing defense, having cohesiveness from year to year, all of that, it's just not as exciting to write or talk about. And so for a guy like Stephen A. Smith, who's one of the best professional talkers in the biz, it's a whole lot more fun to talk about Kevin Durant than it is to talk about, making some moves on the margins to bring in better shooters and to tweak some things and to hope for the growth and development of the other players. That's not fun. And as a fan, it's not as exciting
either. It's not as sexy. There's no doubt.
But everything that Rafael Stone and Udoka have done together makes me feel way more confident in their ability to develop a largely homegrown team than a lot of other situations in the NBA.
Now, that said, Zach Lowe, on his show for The Ringer, proposed a trade involving Kevin Durant and the Rockets. Do we approve?
Van Vliet, Durant, Şengün, and then surrounded by all the crazy length and defense that they have is a model that makes a ton of sense. KD needs a high volume, not that Fred VanVleet's a high volume point guard, but someone to just do the running of the offense because KD is not going to do that as much anymore. It makes a lot of sense. Something like Jalen Green plus some salary filler in Jock Landale and Aaron Holiday, plus some draft equity that may or may not include the number 10 pick in this draft and a future Phoenix pick that gets returned to them. That might be too much given what the landscape is going to be. And I've heard nothing to change my belief that the Rockets front office is just not gung-ho about chasing Kevin Durant, about trading a lot of stuff for an older player who doesn't fit their timeline. But if they don't think Jalen Green is going to be a huge part of their future, then that's something that maybe is interesting to me.
This is the trade that we kind of discussed last week, just more rounded out with all the salary filler that you need and everything else.
And I kind of got lost in the double negative there. Did he say he hasn't seen anything that makes him believe the Rockets don't want to go for
him? I think what he was implying is that I haven't seen anything that tells me they wouldn't be open to bringing Kevin Durant on the team. You know,
and spending a lot to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like now he talks to a lot of insiders. Yeah. And he's got a lot of people like him and talk to him.
Yeah. This is the trade. I mean, you and I talked about this
We've seen so many things that say that, no, the Rockets are not interested in spending a ransom for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets themselves have said that the favorite, is, you know, the bet is continuity. You know, Raphael Stone himself said that. And I think even if he didn't feel that way, that's the right thing to say publicly because you're not trying to look desperate to make a deal. But that was the deal he proposed is basically the deal you and I talked about last week, which was Jalen Green and this number 10 pick from Phoenix that they've got for Kevin Durant. All that Zach Lowe is doing is throwing in the stuff you need to complete the deal.
To balance it out.
Well, for the CBA. You know, you got to throw in a few more salaries. He throws in an extra first-round pick. Okay. It's like 2029 or something. That's fine. You want to throw in an extra first. Rockets, they have more firsts and they know what to do with. I would do that deal. That deal he just proposed, Jalen Green, Jock Landale, Aaron Holiday, and a couple of first-round picks. I would do that deal for Kevin Durant. I know the text page is going to destroy me now because they don't want to trade for Kevin Durant. There's a lot of people that don't want to give up on Jalen Green. This finals is a referendum on a lot of things, Seth, not just anti-super team sentiment, but don't give up on a young player early sentiment because you got Tyrese Halliburton on one side who was drafted by the Sacramento Kings, and you've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP of the league, who was drafted by the Los Angeles Clippers. And neither of them are playing for those teams anymore. They have led their second teams to the finals here. I think there's a fear factor with some Rocket fans out there that you trade Jalen Green and he's going to turn into the face or leader of a championship team. I'm not that bullish on Jalen Green. I think he's a good player. I think he can average 20 a game for the next 12 years in the NBA. That doesn't mean he's the face of a championship team. So there you go. What do you guys think? 713-572-4610. All right, Stephon Diggs spoke, man. We never got this version of Stephon Diggs with the Houston Texans, and you're going to see what I mean. It is reminiscent, though, of a former Texan great in terms of press conferences. You will want to listen to this. Stephon Diggs asked about the boat party and the pink powder coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.